If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at TNTradio.live. Clear and concise, this is the Shannon Joy Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Shannon Joy Show. We're broadcasting from the Joy Virtual Studio right here in the beautiful Finger Lakes region of New York, across the globe. Hello to Australia and the UK and Scotland, Canada and the States and more. It is so good to be with all of you. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. We have much to get to tonight and this week on the Shannon Joy Show. Another jam-packed schedule. Great interviews lined up this week on the Shannon Joy Show. You do not want to miss a second this week on the Shannon Joy Show. Tomorrow, we welcome for the first time Kathy Barnett. She was one of the candidates in the Republican primary for United States Senate in the great state of Pennsylvania. And she was pushed out of that primary, absolutely attacked by Sean Hannity and Mark Levin. A few months ago, she was the true conservative. I've known Kathy for many years. I met her almost a decade ago at a CPAC event in Washington, D.C., and we've remained friends in contact ever since. She has been speaking out across Pennsylvania in terms of the COVID lockdowns, the mask mandates, the vaccine mandates. She's been talking about medical freedom. She has been crossing the state of Pennsylvania for the past 3 years. She was running for Senate. She was one of us, we the people, a true liberty lover, and the Republican Party took her out. Conservative Inc., including Mark Levin and Sean Hannity, took her out. She was up against Dr. Oz, a liberal former Democrat who never met a mask mandate or a vax mandate that he didn't love. He has nothing to say about the lockdowns, nothing to say about the crimes against humanity that are continuing to be committed here in the United States of America. And he is typical of nearly every Republican in this country as we move to the 2022 midterm elections. Kathy Barnett is going to give us the real deal, the real scoop on what's going on electorally here in the United States of America. She has seen inside the belly of the beast, and she's gone up against the rhinos. She's gone up against the establishment, and not just the GOP establishment, the Trump establishment as well. Trump got behind, surprise, surprise, the liberal Democrat in that Pennsylvania Senate primary. She is still very active, and it is a very fluid situation in the state of Pennsylvania. We're going to get all the details and more about the United States elections tomorrow with Kathy Barnett. So make sure you tune in right here on the Shannon Joy Show. On Wednesday, Inez Annie Cyrus, she escaped from Iran. She's been a refugee in the United States of America. She's a human rights activist. You've met her on this program before, and she's going to give us an update on the revolution in Iran in the context of that revolution in terms of what is going on in the world. Massive protests again beginning to sweep through Europe as more and more Europeans stand up. They are sick of the fake war in Ukraine. They are sick of throwing their tax dollars, their hard-earned incomes into that money laundering machine. They don't want to freeze to death this winter. They don't want to starve to death this winter as they begin to realize that their own governments are waging war against them. What is happening in Europe is happening in Canada, and it is happening here in the United States of America. We are up against a hostile government, and that hostile government is made up of two political parties that are on the same side. They are on the side of the billionaires. They are on the side of the globalists, the net zero carbon people, the New World Order, the World Economic Forum, the transhumanists, the people who never met a lockdown or a draconian, fascistic government action that they didn't like. And interestingly enough, we are having a common experience across the globe. We, the little people, we are beginning to realize that the elites among us are out of control. They have purchased our governments. They have purchased our institutions. They have purchased both of our political parties. It's very interesting. I'm loving seeing this year. I mean, this year, anytime you get to an election in the United States of America, everyone forgets their principles. Everyone forgets the betrayal of the Republican Party in past elections. And everyone then just like jumps in. It's election fever. And they believe that this election is actually going to make a difference. And I'm here to tell you, you know, and it's good for, you know, Jordan Schachtel is tweeting out on this now. Daniel Horowitz is talking about this on his platform as well. We're seeing more and more people understanding that this is all a fraud. Both parties are captured. And it's not just in the United States of America. It's in the UK as well. There was a commentator on Twitter. I was laughing so hard. I don't even know who tweeted this out. But there's a new prime minister, a so-called conservative in the United Kingdom. And the new quote-unquote conservative prime minister appointed either a health commissioner or a banking commissioner, someone to a high-level bureaucratic position in the UK. And this guy is essentially, I mean, there's video of this guy coming out and praising the Chinese Communist Party in the most draconian lockdown situations you could ever imagine. And he's basically like, yeah, that's what we need to do here. We need to be more like China. So in the UK, that's the equivalent of the Republican Party or our conservative media, Inc., right? They have nothing to say about what happened over the past 3 years. It is as if it didn't happen. It's the most bizarre situation that we are now 4 weeks away from midterm elections, and they will not discuss the most pressing issues of our time, issues that are a matter of life and death for individuals, for regular people. And so in the UK, this fellow tweets out, yeah, it's official. This new quote unquote conservative is no different than the opposition party. And the way that he framed it, he said they're two cheeks of the same arse, which I thought was hilarious. Two cheeks of the same arse. In the United States of America, I call it the unibrow, right? A nasty, gnarly unibrow. What was once distinct and separate, two eyebrows, has grown together to form this uniparty. And they work in tandem. They're both owned. And they give the illusion of an election. And it's so interesting to listen to a Conservative Inc., my colleagues in conservative radio. It's as if we're in a sporting event, right? Like when I monitor some of the other big talkers in the U.S., it's all about the polls. So-and-so is neck and neck with so-and-so, and the Zogby poll came out, and the Gallup poll came out, and the Siena poll came out, and one controversy after another. This candidate did this, and that candidate did that, and Herschel Walker, and this debate, and that debate. And it's like it's like Monday morning quarterbacking. It's like they're calling the plays in a football game. They're not talking about issues. They're not talking about the fact that every time we put Republicans or conservatives into a position of power, they betray us time and time again. They're not talking about the greatest tragedy in human history that we are witnessing right now. Broken lives. A crushing of the American dream and the human spirit and the human soul. They continue to do so with hubris. They're not even worried. Nothing. Nothing. It's a game. It's a game to them. And I just sit back. This is the first election season. I'm heading on to almost a decade. In April of 2000. In 23, the Shannon Joy Show will celebrate its 10-year anniversary, a full decade. And just so you guys can understand my evolution as a broadcaster and a thinker, you know, I came into this job as someone who had listened to talk radio almost my entire life. I watched Fox News. I read all of the publications. I was a registered Republican. My parents were registered Republicans. I grew up listening to Rush Limbaugh. There were good guys and there were bad guys in the US. The Democrats were the bad guys and the Republicans were the good guys. And that's where I was firmly 10 years ago, fully vaxxed. Okay, all my kids got their full vaccines. I was fully vaccinated. Never, ever, ever questioned anything that the medical establishment ever told me. That was the person that came into this business 10 years ago. I'm a completely different person today, and it's been painful. And my mindset about what is happening in this country is completely different. And it's based on 10 years of very careful and very close observation of both political parties. I have seen this over and over and over again. And so I don't come to these conclusions lightly. I don't come to these conclusions in a spirit of "I told you so." I come to these conclusions understanding that this whole thing, the thing that I was invested in, is a fraud. It is a fraud. And the people at the top are masters of manipulation and deception, and they carry this out at the national level, but also the state level and also the local level. And the whole point of the game is for them to keep us distracted, at each other's throats, fearful of one another, so that we are not focusing in on what they are doing to us. We, the people, our liberties, our freedoms, our livelihoods, our futures, the futures of our children. We are not paying attention to that. We are paying attention to the what we believe is a worse evil, right? And so the two parties are installed. And this may not have been the case 15 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, right? Maybe it's always been the case. But the point is, we are not dealing with honest brokers in these political elections. And even the candidates who believe that they're going to get in and they're going to do the right thing, I assure you, if they are not strong enough to stand up to this machine right now, and a few are, you will see a few bright spots across the country, then they'll never be strong enough to stand up against the machine once they get put in office. Most conservatives and Republicans do not understand what we're up against. They don't understand, I don't think, where we are in the course of human history. And it does seem that every 100 years or so, we go through some major upheaval, And the way that I look at it today, it's just a corruption that has been festering and not addressed and festering more and never addressed. And it's just layer upon layer upon layer of lies and deceit and corruption and never justice. And that's why we're dealing with such a powerful enemy right now. They are so organized. They are so vicious. But most people who are going to go to the polls in a few weeks do not understand what we're up against. They think that we've been let out of our cages and things are gonna go back to normal. And even though they know there's this gnawing knowledge in the back of their mind that things are not good and they're not getting better in the economy and housing prices and gas prices, they know that things aren't right, but they don't understand the nature of what we're up against. Video recently emerged. This fellow, Sadhguru, he is essentially a religious leader of, I believe it looked like Middle Eastern descent, and a darling of the global elites in the World Economic Forum. There was a gathering of the WEF recently, and he was very candid with one of the interviewers. He exited from a meeting that he spoke at, and the interviewer said to him, people were so relieved with how frank you were and how honest you were about what we're up against. And this guru, this religious leader, his name is Sadhguru, basically laughed and said, yeah, well, you know, all of my religious colleagues from all of the other religions, they don't like me because I tell it like it is and I want to depopulate the planet. And he laughs and he says, oh, they want more souls on the face of the planet. I want fewer. I want to depopulate the planet. And they both start chuckling and laughing. They had a great laugh over it. I mean, these are human lives we're talking about. I mean, these are the people that we are up against, and they're playing for keeps. And here we are now in the midst of another political circus where all of the players come out and they play their role and they make the American people believe that it's actually a choice and that, you know, an opposition party is actually going to govern any different, even though we know we've been watching for decades. They do the same thing over and over. And here we are again. The only hope I have is that we get over this quickly so that we can get back to the organizing and the local action that is actually going to be necessary to save this country. But alas, we're in the middle of the election season, and this is what people are talking about. We'll be back in a moment right here on The Shannon Joy Show.
Politically Incorrect on TNT Radio.
Do you think that the medical profession has been really dumbed down in the last 15 or 20 years?
Well, I think they probably have, in a way, and without even realizing it, because the pharmaceutical industry, big pharma, let's use the word big pharma, since the mid-1980s, has had a blank check on vaccine development, where they've been relieved of any, you know, and they're immune from any legal attacks, any class actions, right, against vaccine injury. That's basically what happened in the mid-1980s. So they've now just producing any old thing, whether it works or not. So, you know, they're getting away with extraordinary...
Like 007 to me.
Yeah, but I think along with that, with their massive propaganda campaigns that all doctors experience in their surgeries, you know, with information sheets, flyers from pharmaceutical companies, drug companies all the time, the invitations to lectures to go to seminars, and then the actual bribery, actually paying people money to give public lectures, paying people money to go to conferences, funding their research, all that sort of stuff, compromises the medical profession in a big way. But I think the compromising began in the medical schools.
Weekends are better when you spend it with Mike Tennessee and Richard Carson on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
On the day that he was inaugurated, the Washington Post had an article on impeaching him.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
Donald J. Trump is now president of the United States.
They had an absolute legitimate meltdown.
If you try to change a system that big, the system fights back.
The story behind the biggest election takeover in history.
We're only now being able to finally confirm exactly how this worked.
Mark Zuckerberg and his wife are donating more money to local governments ahead of the election. $100 million on top of a $300 million gift.
The most money any individual has ever spent to win a presidential campaign in the history of our country.
I actually became infuriated that someone had allowed Zuckerberg to tip the scale.
The election was bought way before Election Day.
They stole it fair and square. They changed the voting rules in the middle of the game.
A nation divided.
This was the greatest billionaire assault on election integrity we've ever seen.
A billionaire-funded plot against the president.
Do you believe that they used the COVID emergency as an excuse to pull this partisan voter turnout operation?
Am I allowed to give you a one-word answer? Yes.
Rigged.
It was a rigged election. People have to find out what happened.
At SalemNow.com.
Get breaking news on your phone when it happens. Download our app from the Google Play and App Store now. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Big week of interviews on The Shannon Joy Show right here on TNT. I mentioned tomorrow, Kathy Barnett will be welcomed into the Joy Virtual Studio on the 2022 midterm elections. She has a perspective that you will not hear on any other quote-unquote conservative outlet in the United States of America. She is fascinating. You are not going to want to miss that interview. Again, Inez Annie Cyrus on Wednesday. She will be talking about the Iranian revolution and revolution that is sweeping the globe as we, the little people, come to the realization that our governments are hostile and they are very interested in depopulation. And that's actually not a good thing for little people. So we're going to talk to her about that on Thursday. Dr. Robert Malone joins us again here in the Joy Virtual Studio. Fascinating discussion with Dr. Malone. He put out a piece over the weekend about Elon Musk. On the conservative side of the aisle, there have been many commentators and pundits cheering Elon Musk, right? Because the censorship and the bots and the suppression of information and the persecution that conservatives and Republicans have experienced on Twitter has really ticked off a lot of conservatives. In fact, Dr. Robert Malone was permanently suspended from Twitter. So Elon Musk coming into the picture, however many months ago, 6 months ago, 8 months ago, whatever it was, right? Wanting to shake things up because he believes in free speech, according to Elon Musk, right? Has really thrown everything into chaos. And that's kind of a good thing. We're glad that Elon Musk is shaking things up. But as you know, I warned you many, many months ago that billionaires are fickle and unpredictable. And yes, our governments are really dastardly right now, and they're doing a lot of horrible things, and they've been purchased by billionaires and multinational corporations and you know, folks over at the World Economic Forum, right? And so, yeah, they're bad, but there aren't the idea that our saviors exist in these billionaires, and this extends to Kanye West. We spent a lot of time last week talking about Kanye West, his interview with Tucker Carlson, and some of the truths that he has put out there. But he is now under fire. He is being attacked and for anti-Semitism, and he's becoming a little bit erratic. And this is why I say to you guys, here's the thing about billionaires, right? They are fickle and unpredictable, right? They do not live in the real world. They're incredibly creative and they can do amazing things. But these are not the people that you want governing. These are not the people that you want, I don't know, owning our free speech platforms. And Dr. Malone put out a very interesting piece about Elon Musk and the newly revealed agenda that he has for Twitter. And it's something that I think many of you would not agree with. And so Dr. Malone is going to come onto the program on Thursday. We're going to talk about that in context of Elon Musk. But even with Kanye, going back to the Kanye situation, right? He's now being accused of anti-Semitism and his behavior is a little bit more erratic. Right? So you have Kanye, you have Elon. And the idea here is that these billionaires, you know, there will be truths. Just because they utter a truth does not mean that they as human beings are the truth. They are not the saviors. Okay? And we do this as humans. We worship idols, whether it is a political figure like Joe Biden or President Donald Trump, or it's a conservative figure like Kanye or Elon or someone that we think is conservative. We glom onto these people when they say things that we like, because there are so few people who say things that are actually true, that we put all of our eggs in that basket and we worship them as if they were deities. And we have to stop doing that. Yes, there's a savior. It's Jesus Christ. That's about it. No one's coming. Kanye is not going to save you. Elon is not going to save you. And I have had reservations for quite some time about Elon Musk taking over that platform. We don't like Twitter how it is right now. And the battle is raging on Twitter right now. But the answer is not private ownership by one person. I know that. And maybe he takes it over, he drives it into the ground, and we find new platforms for free speech. Maybe there's a new platform out there for free speech that we have not even comprehended. Maybe there's something out there that we cannot even fathom at this point. But I'm telling you, and this goes for Kanye, this goes for Elon, this goes for Ron DeSantis, this goes for Carrie Lake, who is running, I believe, for governor in Arizona, and people love her in terms of this election season. And they say these things that you cannot put your eggs in the electoral basket or in man-made institutions or in men themselves. They are all flawed. They are all flawed. We've gone too far in this country. The only answer, from my perspective, is local. It is going in at the local level, building your groups, infiltrating every institution you possibly can at the local level, and just battling against every global initiative at the point of implementation. And that point is the local level. And so Malone is going to come on to talk about the larger grand plans of Elon Musk. Remember, you know, Elon is a tech guy. I don't know that he's against transhumanism. I don't think there is a technology that he wouldn't want to explore. I don't know about what restrains him ethically or morally. Like, we know very little about him. And so we have to be very careful with this. If he purchases Twitter, what is going to happen with that? I just don't know. So we're going to explore that with Dr. Malone on Thursday. We're also going to look at a very important, if we can get to it with Dr. Malone, we're going to look at two very important documentaries that have recently come out. One is Candace Owens and her documentary on BLM and the money behind BLM and the Chinese Communist Party. Absolutely astounding revelations by Candace that Dr. Malone will be speaking to when he joins us on Thursday. Also, very important documentary that was produced by the Epoch Times. And it is entitled, I believe, The Great War, but essentially it was just debuted at the Heritage Foundation, I believe, at one of their events. And the trailer was debuted and there was a screening of this documentary that was produced by the Epoch Times, which for me at this point is paper of record. I get it physically, like it's a real newspaper. You can actually subscribe to it and they'll throw it on your front porch every day. I also have the digital edition as well. Just a fantastic, fantastic organization. Interesting history behind the Epoch Times. The paper began as an online news organization and it was founded by Chinese expats. So as you all know, during the Cultural Revolution and, you know, when China was taken over by the communist Mao Zedong, and you had exile, you had many Chinese business people and people who loved liberty, right, flee China for the United States. And, you know, they basically dispersed across the globe, right? Well, some of those exiles began the Epoch Times decades ago. And this was to expose and try to get to the truth about what was happening in China. But the paper expanded, the English version is the most popular, and they have the number of the Chinese Communist Party. We talk a lot about the World Economic Forum. We talk a lot about the global elites and the massive corporations and the pharmaceutical corporations and all of the transhumanists and you know, they're dastardly. But this piece shows the Chinese Communist Party and how they have been infiltrating and influencing and building an infrastructure in the United States of America for almost 100 years. Right. And it's absolutely fascinating. And so we're going to look at that with Dr. Malone when he is with us on Thursday. So you're going to want to make sure you stick around for that as well. OK, we got to go to break. We'll be back in a moment right here on the Shannon Joy Show.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Leicestershire police have removed a social media post that suggested calling a transgender person by their previous name was a crime after the British Home Secretary intervened. Pakistan has summoned the U.S. ambassador after President Joe Biden questioned the country's possession of nuclear weapons. Budapest has issued a condemnation of the EU's sanctions on Russia and warning that Brussels' financial warfare against Moscow will destroy Hungary.
Do you have a suggestion for a possible guest or host that you'd like to hear on TNT Radio?
Or perhaps you have a topic you feel we should discuss?
Then we want to hear from you. Simply complete the suggestion form on the TNT Radio website. Help us make a difference on TNT Radio.
We are gearing up for a big week here on the Shannon Joy Show. As I mentioned in the previous segments, Kathy Barnett is going to be with us tomorrow. Inez Annie Cyrus will be with us on Wednesday. The great Dr. Robert Malone joins us again on Thursday. And Friday, I'm going to try to bring in Owen Stevens will likely be with us, but I am going to try to bring in my attorney, Corey Hogan of Hogan Willig in New York State. This is a very large law firm in Western New York. From the beginning of the lockdown, Corey Hogan and the attorneys over at Hogan Willig were fighting for freedom. They were fighting against lockdowns. They were representing restaurants that were being forced to shut down. They were representing youth sports organizations that were being forced to shut down. They were filing lawsuits against the masking. I mean, the only back when none of the attorney, when there was no one, when essentially every law firm in the country was shut down, bought into the whole COVID-19 thing. Corey Hogan and the attorneys over at Hogan Willig were standing up. They refused to shut down. They had unmarked cars in their parking lot to make sure that they were complying with, you know, lockdown orders, and they just refused to do so. So just amazing people. I'd like to have Corey in to talk about my lawsuit. I mentioned briefly last Friday that we had amazing news. A federal judge in New York State has denied the motion to dismiss my lawsuit against Monroe County on multiple counts. And this is in relation to my arrest for improper masking at a school board meeting almost a year ago, a little over a year ago. And for those of you who are new to my audience, I was arrested. I was handcuffed, shoved in the back of a police car, and charged with trespass. And this was from, you know, everyone who is paying attention to what was going on at that time. I mean, I was a very loud advocate for freedom. We were against mask mandates and vaccine mandates, and we were fighting like hell to open up the schools. And that meant that we went to a lot of school board meetings. And the school board and the administration clearly didn't like me because I spoke out and I had a very large platform and I used it. I used it. And so in order, what we believe is, you know, to make an example out of me, they arrested me because my mask fell below my nose for about a nanosecond. And so that went to court. It was dismissed by a judge in the interest of justice. So the criminal aspect of that went away 4 weeks after it happened. It was a huge victory. It was covered in national media all over the United States, on PJ Media, Daily Wire, The Blaze, you name it. It was a huge victory. But we didn't stop there. We wanted to make sure. I wanted to make sure. It wasn't about me. They did this. They used me as an example to everyone in the rest of the community. And they did this to parents across the United States of America. They used me to send a signal to any parent, any individual who had the audacity to stand up against an administration, to stand up for their children, to assert themselves, right? And to advocate for liberty and to tell the truth. And they didn't want that. And that's why they arrested me. That's why they tried to humiliate me, because they wanted to make sure that anyone else watching would say, oh, I'm not going to do that. I'm never going to do that because look what happened to Shannon Joy. And so it wasn't good enough for me to just have that huge victory where the judge tossed the case. And Corey over at Hogan Willig and my attorneys who represented me at the time pro bono felt the same way. We thought that this really was an important national case. This is a federal case. This is about First Amendment rights. This is about due process rights. This is about suppression of free speech. I was a member of press. I was also a taxpayer. I was a parent of students who attended the school, that the meeting that I was at. And what they did was attempt to suppress that violently through having me arrested. And we just thought it was way too important. And the facts of the case were way too relevant. I recorded my entire arrest. I Facebook lived it. And that went viral. And, you know, that's what brought all of the national attention to the case. And so we looked at the facts, we looked at the video, we looked at the fact that the judge tossed it at the request of the prosecutor and the district attorney. And we said, you know what? This is one case. This is one case that we can win. We can win. They tried to make an example out of me, but we're going to make an example out of them. And so we sat down and we decided we are going to sue the Fairport Central School District and every individual member of the board. We are also going to sue Monroe County, and we are also going to sue the Monroe County Sheriff's Department, all three. And we launched those lawsuits. We put them together. We filed them about 8 months ago. And the school board, just to give you guys an update, the school board in the Fairport Central School District answered our claim, meaning that we are going to move forward. We're not working on that yet. There are certain things in process, but they did not make a motion to dismiss my claim. And so we will be moving into discovery, and we have requested a jury trial. So we're going to get all sorts of information in terms of discovery, very broad when it comes to gathering discovery. And we're going to take that to a jury trial. We're not taking the chance of putting that in front of a judge, because we know that the court system is sometimes corrupt in the United States of America, and you might get a good judge, but you could just as easily get a completely compromised, bad judge who hates our Constitution and hates liberty. And so we didn't want to take that chance. We have requested a jury trial. So that's happening. The big news that happened last week on the other two entities that we sued, the Monroe County Sheriff's Department and Monroe County, they both filed a motion to dismiss my claims. And I had six claims. Last week, a federal judge upheld in the case of Monroe County two of my claims, the two most important ones, essentially the ones that address my First Amendment rights and how they were suppressed and violated by the county and the school board. So those were upheld. It was a huge win. That was a huge hurdle to overcome. And however, the judge dismissed all of the claims that we had against the sheriff's department, which is very, very interesting. And we're going to take that further. I think that we are going to appeal that dismissal. And we might also appeal even some of the dismissal of some of the other claims. And so I would like to have Corey in on Friday to talk about the details of the case and some of the other cases that they are working on over at Hogan Willig. Again, in this battle, as we fight back against tyranny, this epic 100-year battle where evil just shows its face and laughs about it. I mentioned the religious guru at the latest World Economic Forum meeting. It was caught on tape laughing about how he wants and advocates for depopulating the planet. Yes, it's a death cult. It is a death cult. That's how crazy these people are. And so as we go up against them, it's everything but the kitchen sink. When people say, Shannon, what should we do? How do we fight back? Well, number one, you don't fight back at the federal or national electoral level, right? That game is rigged. Go ahead and vote, okay? And there are some good candidates out there. Very few, but there are some, okay? So go out and vote for your team. I'm not telling you, do your civic duty, and get on out there and pull the lever, okay? Do that in 4 weeks, but don't stop there. There's much more that we need to do. And that comes in the form of a million different things that you can do. You can change your consumption habits. You can change your education habits. You can decide to homeschool or private school your kid instead of sending them to public schools. You can start a group. You can start an organization. You can start a parallel industry or a parallel business. I know people who are beginning to open up healthcare clinics with medical doctors and nurse practitioners that were fired in New York State for not complying with a vaccine mandate. Well, they're beginning to open up clinics. They're beginning to open up facilities that can heal people and take care of people outside of the establishment. So you can start an organization like that, or you can start a business like that. You can launch a lawsuit, you can start a group, you can run for electoral office, you can run for zoning board or town council, city council, school board. You can commit to going to school board meetings and zoning meetings. You can be a watchdog. There are 1,000 things that you can do from the bottom up that are going to be meaningful. And for me, this lawsuit is one way. It's one way. Obviously, I have a platform, but you know, this was an experience that I think that we believe can make a huge difference in the United States of America. We're not backing down, and we want to make an example out of the county, the sheriff's department, and also the school board in the interest of justice and truth. And that's why we're fighting. And that's why we continue to do this. And so you can expect an update on all of that on Friday as we pregame the week here on Shannon Joy Show. We'll be back in a moment.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
Nebraska Republican Senator Ben Sasse is expected to give up his Senate seat in December to take on the position of president at the University of Florida. Before serving in the Senate, Sasse was president of Midland University and taught at the University of Texas at Austin. And keep in mind that he voted to impeach President Donald Trump during trial number 2. But none of that was enough to overcome the pure hatred and vitriol that greeted the senator as he appeared on the Florida campus this past Monday. Fox reports that student organizations gathered outside the building to protest the nomination, including the Young Democratic Socialists of America, UF Communists, and UF College Democrats. He was blasted as anti-gay marriage, anti-trans, anti-abortion, and he was called a homophobic piece of S by one of those punks who said they wanted to make his life miserable. As he was entering a police van that would take him off campus, a single protester could be heard saying, "We don't want you here." Now, the school's board of trustees still has to vote on the appointment on November 1st. Want to bet the vote might be no? Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
Hi, my name is Marnie Dobek. I'm a family physician, and my son Zachary almost died of sepsis last year. We were lucky. Most people don't know the word sepsis, and they don't know the symptoms. Protect yourself and your loved ones. Know sepsis. To learn more about the symptoms, please go to sepsis.org.
It's never a burden to fight for truth. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
We are playing for all the marbles. All the marbles right now. It truly is an epic battle. And at this point, from Canada to Australia to the UK to the United States of America, we're dealing with political parties that are one and the same. They work together. They work in tandem. A gnarly, nasty unibrow. That's how I describe them. People in the UK call them two cheeks of the same arse, right? Which I think is hilarious. But until we deal with that, until we have an acknowledgement by enough people about their political system and how corrupted it's become, until that acknowledgement and that understanding really sets in to the public sentiment, we're going to continue to go through this kabuki theater WWE style fake wrestling match every 2 years, every 4 years. And then we get our hopes up, we think it's going to change, and we're disappointed. They stab us in the back, right? And we just have short memories. We don't ever remember that. It is truly the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and over and over again and expecting a different result. This is the first year that I really am completely independently pulled out of this two-party system. It's been a 10-year process. I told you guys at the beginning, you know, my process of observation, watching the two parties, watching Republicans campaign and how they campaign and what they say, and then after they campaign, what they actually do, and reading the bills and really beginning to observe and see how manipulative they are and how brilliant they are in their manipulation, and just seeing that over and over and over for 10 years. But still, every election season, I would say, well, maybe there's still enough good ones. Well, maybe this time it'll be different. Maybe this time they're going to change their minds. You know, this is the first year where I'm really, truly just pulled out of the D versus R. I'm just an observer at this point. I feel like I'm an independent observer of this circus, Crazy Town USA. And, you know, that's on a national level. But we're really up against it. I mean, step one, again, to, you know, winning and saving humanity in the 21st century, really, is to rip ourselves out of that two-party political paradigm that is completely rigged. That's step number one. And I feel very free. I don't feel anxious in any way, shape, or form about this election season. And that's kind of how I know that I'm in the right spot right now. Believe me, there are plenty of things to be anxious about. And from my vantage point, having to come and talk to all of you lovely people every evening on the radio, I can't even stick my head in the sand. I've got to look at this stuff and I've got to face it because it's the nature of my job. There are plenty of things to have a little bit of anxiety about when you consider the plans that these megalomaniac control freak lunatics have for humanity in the 21st century. And I'll just give you a clue. It is that you, your body, the bodies of your children, you are the consumer, the product, and the experiment, okay? They'll jab you, they'll manipulate you, make you sick, then sell you something to cure the sickness that came from the jab originally. They will invent viruses. They will do gain of function research. They will embark on their transhumanist dreams. And all of that necessarily needs you. You are the commodity. You are the tradable market, okay? It's your body. I don't think people quite get that. Doesn't look good for the little guy, okay? If you're not one of the elites and you're not plugged into the system, then it's somewhat of a bleak future for you and your kids. It's why we're fighting against it. All right? So yeah, there's a lot to be anxious about. But for the first time, I'm not anxious at all about the elections. Not even a little bit. I'm like, I'm enjoying this sense of freedom where I'm just watching and observing, and wow, it's quite a show. It's quite a show. And, but again, we got to get out of this. I mean, we've got to get out of this vicious cycle of thinking that electoral politics are going to be the end all be all and that they're going to save humanity. They just are not. They are not. It's not going to happen, but we are going to win. And I love this piece. I'm going to leave you with some really great news, right? Let's talk about the good stuff. We are going to win. Last week with Steve Kirsch, we talked about this piece that he dropped in his Substack, How We Win This. And he lists 20 very distinct things that we can do, actually 21, right? To win this. And I assure you on this list, and nowhere on this list does he say elect Republicans, okay? It's not on there. All right, this is a great list. We have thinkers, we have brilliant thinkers like Steve Kirsch and Jeffrey Tucker and Dr. Robert Malone and Dr. Peter McCullough. And I mean, you name it, that are connected to each other now. And these bonds are growing stronger. Rainer Fulmick, who came in and joined us a couple weeks ago, okay? And he's coming to the US. So this was from our good friend Jordan Schachtel, who is too busy to come on my show. He's the one, I can't even tell you, I stalk Jordan. We text each other. I'm like, Jordan, when are you coming on my show? Jordan, when are you coming on my show? And he never gets back to me. I use his stuff all the time. He's been really busy lately, but I might ask him to come on again. He makes me laugh. He's too busy being young. I think he has a new girlfriend too, so he's spending time with her. But this is so good. I'm loving Jordan Schachtel's work lately. He writes for the dossier. It is dossier.substack.com. And he's talking about the fake war in Ukraine that Europeans are simply raging against right now. Absolutely raging, okay? They see the writing on the wall. They see the writing on the wall. They see that all of their money is being laundered in Ukraine, and they're waking up to it. And so his piece is why Zelensky's World War III gambit will fail. It's going to fail. Take hope in that, because I agree with him. He said, none of the major parties involved in this conflict want nuclear Armageddon via World War III. Remember, we've been talking about this. They are banging the war drums. All of the usual suspects wanting to go to World War III because it makes them a lot of money. And he starts out, a continually unhinged Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, has spent the past year trying desperately to draw NATO powers into direct conflict with Russia over and over and over. And he has yet to achieve success despite many attempts to do so. While the rhetoric between DC, Brussels, and Moscow has certainly become more fiery, the kinetic pieces on the geopolitical chessboard have remained steadily in place because the major parties to the conflict, so Russia and NATO and some of the major players within NATO, do not want World War III breaking out. Last week, he ramped up the rhetoric even further. Zelensky is calling for NATO forces to bomb Russia and try to eliminate their nuclear arsenal. Of course, this would launch World War III, which we don't want, right? And it would launch World War III, and it's not even possible as Moscow retains the nuclear triad and thousands of nuclear weapons at their disposal. Zelensky, as we know, he's an actor by trade, doesn't seem to care about the details. He just wants NATO and US forces on the ground in Ukraine, and he's willing to accept World War III to make it happen. He also wants the money laundering, and that's really what Ukraine is. That's what Afghanistan was. That's what Syria was. All of the modern, recent history conflicts and quote-unquote wars have really, in my opinion, been elaborate money laundering schemes. I don't know when the last righteous war was. I really don't. I don't think it was during my lifetime. I don't know about all of you. And the neocons, and this is the thing, like, they want the World War III, but I don't know that they're going to get it. The good news now, at least for now, is that none of the major parties involved in this conflict want nuclear Armageddon via World War III. He said these powers remain committed to propping up Kiev as the tip of the spear in what they hope is a long, drawn-out conflict with Moscow. They do not seek a Ukrainian victory over Russia, but an Afghanistan-like perpetual war that acts both to weaken their foe and facilitate several forms of money laundering for the global elites. Okay? So that's what the warmongers and the neocons want in terms of global politics. But what it seems like what is happening is that the actual players, so NATO countries and even Russia don't want to play this game. They don't want to play this game. And so this piece is really interesting by Jordan Schachtel, and I think that he's spot on. Amazingly, despite all the warmongering, despite all of the manipulations, despite Zelensky's just insatiable desire to get more funding and to move us towards World War III, at this point, miraculously, it hasn't happened. And that is the good news. And so that is what I'm going to leave with you all tonight. Make sure you tune in right here on the Shannon Joy Show tomorrow and the rest of the week. Again, phenomenal interviews you are not going to want to miss. Keep it tuned right here on TNT. We'll see y'all tomorrow.